Harmony Christian Church, welcome to church. I am so excited to have you here. You know, I was thinking as we're getting ready for worship this morning, I was thinking about one of my favorite things to do when I was in high school was to be part of a production. I loved being in plays and musicals and that kind of stuff because there was always all of this stuff that was happening behind the scenes. You as the person participating got to see what was actually happening in the front of the house, but there were always these things that were happening that nobody else got to see. Behind the scenes, there were people doing set changes, and there were people doing costume changes and putting on makeup, and there was laughing and eating and all kinds of things that were happening. And this morning, I wanted to take you behind the scenes of Christmas, because the reality is, while what you and I know about Christmas is these beautiful trees, and we know about all of the baby in the manger and shepherds coming to visit Jesus and wise men and all those things, the reality is there was something that was happening on the spiritual side of things that nobody ever talks about. And so this morning, if you guys will come with me, I wanted to actually take you behind the scenes. I wanted to open up the curtains of heaven and to show you not just what was happening on the physical side of things at Christmas, but for you to see the spiritual realities too. Because while what we know about is kind of this silent night that happened, what was really happening on the spiritual side was this nightmare on Elm Street. And so this morning, we're going to take you guys behind the scenes and open up the curtains to go to the spiritual side of Christmas. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down." I had the privilege of being in the room when each of my kids was being born, and the last three were born with C-section, and I actually was in that room, and I asked the doctor if it'd be okay if I peeked over the little thing to watch, and it was crazy to watch. I mean, watching every little incision that they made and all of the stuff that went into that surgery, it was just incredible. And then was the moment when my child came into the world, and they pulled that little girl or that little boy out, and they gave them to me, and I got to hold them and watch them as they cried their first breath and cry, and everything was incredible, and it was scary, and it was exciting and exhilarating all at once. But I'm telling you, it was nothing like the first Christmas. It was nothing like the first Christmas, because at those birth of my children, there wasn't a dragon there waiting to eat my baby. There wasn't an epic battle that was about to take place. As a matter of fact, we thought, what if we could take all of this story and kind of show you what it looked like, what this epic battle between the dragon and God's army in the spiritual realm, as we stand behind the scenes, what it looked like in the spiritual realm. And so I had our special effects department put together a little something for you guys to watch. So let me throw it to them, and then we'll come back and we'll finish up this segment.
Hold the line, men!
Oh no!
Watch out for the dragon! Arr. We could take him, Sarge! Oh no! Watch out for his fire breath! Arr. Why? The humanity! Pinsky, no! Sarge, come close. Yes, Pinsky. You're gonna make it, man. No, it's too late for me. Tell my wife I loved her. Penske, no! Have at you, you foul beast! Oh, the baby's coming! Prepare the cannons! Fire! That one was for Penske.
Needless to say, our special effects department does not have the budget it should have, but they're pretty good with what they've got. But you do get the picture, don't you? You get the picture that while you and I are talking about babies being born and shepherds coming to visit and wise men and all that stuff, there is this war occurring. There's a battle happening in the background. And the battle, it didn't begin at Christmas. It actually began years and years and years before. And so stay tuned this morning. Be sure to give us some hearts, give us some likes, and be ready, because this morning as we enter into worship, we're entering into the battle, and we're going to go back to the beginning to show you where all of this started, why the dragon and the serpent and the woman, why it all matters so very much to your story and to my story. Because this Christmas is the story of God coming to redeem the world, and it matters. It matters for you, and it matters for me. Let's join in with Mike and join in with some worship, and we'll come back to this story in a moment. You can't understand the Christmas story and all of the cosmic nature of what was going on in the spiritual realm until you understand another story from Scripture. You guys probably know the story, right? It's the one with the trees and the serpent and the nice young couple that has just started out their new life together. They are Adam and Eve, and they've been created and brought into this world from God Almighty, Yahweh, the God of the Jewish people, breathing his life into them. He's brought them into existence, and he's put them in this beautiful wild garden, this place that was theirs to explore, theirs to live in, theirs to enjoy. But he's given them one rule, and the one rule is simple. You can eat from any tree that's in the garden, but you can't eat from one. You can't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat from that tree, death will come upon you. We enter into this story at this moment where Adam and Eve are at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is the very place where God's told them, if you eat of this fruit, you'll die. The serpent comes in. You know the story, right? The serpent comes in. He tempts them. They eat the fruit. The fall of man occurs. And literally, this is the pivotal moment in all of human history. Literally, every dysfunction that you've ever experienced has been at least a part, a result of what happened at that tree. Eve and Adam sink their teeth into the juices of that fruit, and in that moment sin enters the world, and it has been bringing destruction to me, and it's been bringing destruction to you ever since. I'm telling you, everything you've ever experienced comes from this moment. Every dysfunction in your life comes from this moment. That moment when your fiance found out that they had cancer, and your relationship was cut short before you were even able to get married to them, and you lost them to death, that moment is a result of this moment. That moment where your parents couldn't work out their relationship and they got a divorce, and your Christmas time for you isn't even something that's special anymore. Christmas time for you is something that reminds you of brokenness and reminds you of fights in your family, and it reminds you of parents arguing over whose house you were going to go to and all those kinds of things. That dysfunction, that moment, was because of this moment. That brokenness is because of this brokenness. The sin that you struggle with quietly that nobody knows about, the sin that you've exhibited overtly through your anger or whatever it is, all of those things come from this one pivotal moment in history, all of it because of Adam and Eve. And then you have the scene. The scene shifts. It turns Adam and Eve. They know good and evil. They've actually chosen now to no longer know God, but to know good and evil. That's been their choice. They choose not God, but to know good and evil. They walk away from God. And then God enters back into the story. Man has fallen. Sin has entered the world. Death will actually come for them. It's interesting. It doesn't come right away. What actually happens is God will take an animal, because Adam and Eve have realized that they're naked. They've clothed themselves with the tree. They've taken leaves from the trees and they've clothed themselves with it. And God himself will sacrifice an animal, and he will make clothing for them out of the skins of an animal that died because they sinned. He lets the animal take their place. in this moment, God comes to them and he first tells Adam and Eve the results of their sin, that they're going to have to work by the sweat of their brow and to live and to make it and to survive. And there's going to be childbirth. It's going to be painful for the woman. But in this moment, God also delivers a curse to the serpent. I want to read it to you. It says this, Genesis 3:14-15. It says, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly. You will eat dust all the days of your lives. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel.'" And this is the beginning of the war. It is this moment where heaven and earth have collided in this great colossal tragedy of mankind losing everything that they had with God, losing knowing God, and being sent into the depths of death, entering into the world. It is in this moment when God curses the serpent, and where God, in this darkness, in this abode of death, he points to the future and he says, "Someday, listen, let me read it to you again. Let me read it to you again. And I will put enmity between you and the woman." I'll put enmity. I'll put this intense hatred. This isn't about ladies not liking snakes. My wife doesn't like snakes. My daughter loves snakes. It's not about women just not liking snakes. This is a prophetic message about the future war that's to come. This is God pointing to Revelation 12 and saying, one day what has happened here at this tree will be made right. "And I will put enmity, I'll put an intense hatred between you and the woman and between your offspring, serpent, and hers. He will crush your head." He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. We're reminded, you've probably heard it, right? You're reminded of another tree. There is this moment, because you know as well as I do that Christmas is not about the baby in the manger so much as it's not about the cradle. It's about the crucifixion, right? It's about getting Jesus to the cross, to another tree. It's about the moment where the serpent will have thought that he's struck the heel of the woman's offspring. He'll think that he's delivered a fatal blow. And in that moment, there is going to be this striking of the serpent's head. Because Jesus is on the cross. He's on that other tree. He is breathing his last. He's literally... he breathes his last. Everything goes dark. Sky literally turns dark. Death enters the world again, except this time it enters the world to a man who was sinless, a man who was perfect, a man who had no reason to be dying. He didn't participate in the sinful activity that Adam and Eve participated in. He didn't have any dark night where he was hiding away to eat the forbidden fruit. He was perfect. He lived a perfect, sinless life, gave his life for us, and he dies on the cross. He breathes his last, and the serpent thinks he's won. Until that moment. You know the story, right? It's Sunday morning. The women are there to dress his body because it's on the Sabbath. They couldn't dress him for his death and his burial. They're there early in the morning and they come and there is a stone that has been rolled away. And there's an angel that says, "Who are you looking for? He's not here. He has risen." Listen to me, Christian. You serve a risen Savior. All of this story, this cosmic Christmas, this moment where the serpent is coming into the world to devour the baby, all of this stuff that's happening in the spiritual realm was all to come after you. It was because God looked at you and he looked at your condition and he looked at the hopelessness. And from the very moment that Adam and Eve plucked that fruit from the tree and they dug into it, from that very moment, God knew that he was going to send his son into the world to redeem us, to bring us back to him, to draw us to himself, so that we could have a relationship with him. That was the moment that Christmas began. That was the moment that all of this cosmic battle in the spiritual realm was set off, so that you and so that I could have a relationship with God, and not just know good and evil, but we could know God again. That was the moment. And that's what Christmas was all about.
That moment, Adam and Eve sunk their teeth into the fruit. It set off an entire chain of events that would lead to our eventual trapping in this life of sin and death. It is a life that has tore me apart, that has destroyed relationships, it continues to work its way into the world that we live in. Every one of us has experienced the dysfunction, has experienced the pain as a result of sin in our world. But it was this moment where God chose not to forsake us. It was this moment where not only was a chain reaction set in place that would lead to our ultimate trapping, but a chain reaction that would lead to our salvation itself. Listen to what Revelation 12:11 says. This comes after the picture of that cosmic Christmas where the dragon has come and it's trying to defeat the woman and it's trying to defeat her offspring. But we know the victory is coming. In Revelation 12:11, it says this, that they, speaking of those who follow Jesus, they triumphed over him. They triumphed over the serpent. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Listen to me. Listen to me. There was a chain of reaction that was set off that is bringing death into your life. It's bringing this eventuality of you being trapped, but it does not have to be in the end because while the battle is real, the battle has already been won. Jesus died to set you free. He reached down from heaven. He left his throne to come after you. And I'm of the firm opinion that if there was no one else on this earth who was suffering from the plague of sin, if there was no one else who was suffering from the consequences of the unraveling of your life, I believe that if you were the only one, Jesus would have stepped out of heaven to come after you. He'd have come after you. And in that moment, where sin is about to strike its final blow and to destroy you and to destroy me, it is in that moment that Jesus reaches down from heaven and he stops the process. He takes your place and he takes my place. And I just have to ask you one question this morning. If you've never chosen to follow Jesus, why in the world wouldn't you? He gave his life, his very life. He, from the very moment creation began, he started this entire chain of events to come after you. Why wouldn't you turn to him? Why wouldn't you come and find life in him? Why wouldn't you come and find salvation in him? Today is the day. Don't walk away and go back to life as usual. Come today to find hope, find freedom, to walk through life, not just knowing about good and evil, but actually knowing God. He came to restore you. He wants you. He longs for you. This is your moment. Maybe just text a friend who's a Christian and say, you know what? I've been thinking about God a lot lately. Could we talk sometime? Start the conversation. Do something. Move towards God, because you better believe it. This Christmas, he's moving towards you.